Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Sports Urban Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, Wayne Ramal. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. Good. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. Good to have you, man.
Hey, good to be on.
All right, man. Thank you again, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode, Sports Urban Legend. On today's show, you know, we're going to be talking about your boy, Michael Strahan, going to space. We'll also talk about the latest rumors with Buck Showalter possibly coming to the Mets. What the hot stove rumors are so far, even though we have the lockout right now. We'll preview the AEW special event that's coming up this Wednesday. Winter is coming. Talk about what's going on in the world of WWE. And yeah, we'll see what else we'll talk about, you know. Of course, if you guys want to talk about any of these topics or more, please feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, again, talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. So, with that said, yeah, let's talk about Michael Strahan going boldly where no New York Giant has gone before until tonight. You know, he took one New York Giant leap for mankind and for Michael Strahan. So, you know, what's your thoughts on, you know, your boy Strahan representing the Giants?
Yeah, I thought it was a great thing for him. You know, he becomes the third celebrity this year after Bezos and William Shatner went to space. And yeah, that was a great thing. I didn't see the telecast of when it happened. I just read about it and saw the highlights on YouTube. But yeah, man, Michael Strahan's doing big things these days. You know, he's all over the place. Vance hosting a morning show. He's hosting a football show, going to space. Next, we're going to see him on Dancing with the Stars soon.
Yeah.
What's next for him?
At this rate, yeah.
Yeah.
So, might even be a WWE superstar.
Yeah.
For all we know.
So, yeah, man, congrats to him, you know, for being the first football player in New York Giant to go into space.
Yeah, and he just got his number retired, 92.
Yeah.
Guess what, was that like 2 weeks ago or so?
Another accomplishment. Yeah, so the big things for Michael Strahan right now.
Yeah, well-deserved honor by the Giants inducting him, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Got his teammates there, you know, Justin Tuck, Eli Manning.
Tom Coughlin, the coach.
Yeah.
His mom.
It was great to see.
Absolutely. And you know, now he got to live out his dream of going to space, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And thank God he arrived safely, and he enjoyed his experience. Reportedly he said he wanna go back, but basically say that, you know, he's gonna have to pay for it this time if you don't go back.
That's funny.
I think
Michael could afford
it. we'll get to the same conclusion at the same time. But yeah, you know, it was a good experience for him, you know, that he got that under his belt. Now he's officially an astronaut.
First sports astronaut.
Kind of remind me of the remember the Scott Clark from ABC? We used to say, "You are out of this world."
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Michael Strahan popped up on that show many times, so I guess now it's prophetic. So, yeah, props to him again.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, making it happen. And speaking of, do you remember what was the last time a New York team won a championship in this town?
I believe that was 09, the Yankees.
Nope.
Actually, no, sorry, it was the Giants in 11.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you are correct. The 2011 Giants won a title. But now you are incorrect. It is now today the New York City football club from the MLS just won the championship today.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I saw it on Twitter. I forgot about that.
So, you know,
they don't count. Because no one watches that.
Well, I mean, it counts. They did do it. I mean,
I guess.
You know, our championship list drought is going to continue. It counts. They're a New York team, you know.
That's the Major League Soccer?
Yeah, MLS.
Yeah. So how many times did we change our target? We used to be the New York Red Bulls.
No, I think this is another team. I think they still have Red Bulls. Because Red Bull used to be known as Metro Stars.
Right.
And then I think they brought back the Cosmos, you know, Pele's former team. And they created this team, you know, New York City Football Club.
New York City Football Club.
Mm-hmm. So they won
the MLS Cup?
They won the MLS Cup.
Congrats.
Yeah, against the Portland Timbers. I think it was even in Portland, too, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was in Portland. So, yeah, they went into enemy territory and won the title in a shootout after they had a 1-1 tie. And, okay, let's see. Valentin Solano scored a goal, and Felipe Mora tied it. And Callen's penalty kick made the New York Football Club win in a 4-2 shootout victory. And you know, their goalkeeper Sean Johnson, you know, kept them at bay. So, you know, congratulations to, you know, to all of them. The football team has been around since the last time the Mets went to the World Series, which was 2015. Of course, we all know Mets didn't win it, but up until now they didn't advance into the title game until today, and now they finally won it. So props to them.
Yeah, congrats.
Mhm. Yeah, they previously beat the, you know, let's see. Yeah, props to them, you know. They beat the Portland Timbers, for those of you scoring at home, so props to them.
Portland Timbers is their name?
Yeah. Portland Timbers. Yeah, I mean, I think they could have came up with a better name with New York City Football Club, too. I thought it was, to be honest, a generic name, you know. I mean, of course, they're a football club in New York City, but I think they could have came up with a better name. But,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is. They're now MLS Cup champions, so, you know, props to them. They end the championship drought, but let's hope the Mets can end the drought. I mean, you know, the New York drought right here when it comes to baseball. And one hiring that will do it, you know, obviously we're shifting gears here to the Mets and the hot stove, and Mets are looking to go buck to the future and hopefully hire your former manager, Buck Showalter, hopefully. I mean, the rumors is that he interviewed with them this week, and he impressed Epler and maybe Alderson, who was there in the Zoom call. But man, this is the Mets, man. Just because this looks like it's a slam dunk, you know, the Mets are gonna be like Randall with the ball, you know, in the final seconds of a game, you know. the ball's in their court, but they don't find some way to mess it up. Or in RJ Barrett's case against his hometown team, missed the shot. But we'll get into that very soon. That game and the state of the Knicks in this episode. Trust me, we will. But yeah, all signs are pointing that Buck Showalter will be the next Met manager, but until it's official, anything can happen, you know. If he does hire him, this would fall in line with what Steve Cohen was saying in his first press conference last year when he got the job. He said that he didn't want nobody, he didn't want to hire anybody learning on the job on his dime. And if he does it with Buck Showalter is that man. He's not going to learn on the dime. He has, like, what, 20 plus years of experience. I mean, he's everywhere he's gone, man. They've gotten better. I mean, except for the Orioles right now. The Orioles, you know, they look like they're tanking the season. I mean, they haven't been the same since his second to last year. Because that last year he had with them, you know, they just tanked it. They only won, what, 47 games or so that year. But prior to that, he got them in the playoffs. And, yeah, man, he's a winner. He's a winner. He hasn't won the big one yet, but he's won everywhere he's gone. He built up that Yankee team. And then as soon as they fire him in 95, guess what happened? Clueless Joe Torre comes in, and the rest is history. You know, he was with the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks got, what was it? The 95 team got eliminated by A-Rod and the Seattle Mariners. Then what was it? 2000, you know, he got fired. Obviously 99, he got, you know, his team, the D-backs got eliminated by the Mets, on their way to the NLCS, you know. They fired him in 2000 after 2000 season. Hire Bob Brindley. We all know what happened in 2001. Of course, Mac remembers very well. Then he took the job in Texas. They fire him next year. They hire '06. They fire him. They hire Ron Washington, and of course, the Rangers had the best era of their franchise, going to back to back World Series. So it's like he has the magic touch. Every time he leaves, with the exception of the Orioles, you know, the team within a few years are competing or winning a championship. Like, if that's the case, sign me up for Buck Showalter, man. If he can't win a championship with us, man, hey, build the building block so that whoever comes in again, whether it's Beltran or Joe Espada or Matt Cottrell or I'm trying to think of the other names that they're thinking of hiring. I'm trying to remember what the names they have in mind that they want to hire. Because they interviewed like six people. So yeah, man. Hire him. He is the best of the people that they're considering. I mean,
my only concern would be that he hasn't managed in a while, so
yeah,
he does have the experience, definitely. He has the experience. I mean, and you know, like you said, he's set up, you know, those teams like the Yankees and the D-backs to be championship teams, you know, before he left. But you know, he hasn't managed in a while, so I don't know.
That's a fair argument, but this guy, he's been on ever since he's been fired from the Orioles. He's been in baseball. He's an MLB analyst MLB Network for years. So he's still somewhat in the game. He's not obviously, you know, in the dugout anymore. But you know he's itching to come back. You know, So, I mean, they definitely got to hire him. I mean, he has way more experience than Joe Espada, Matt Quatro, you know, Bob Guerin, who was a former bench coach of the Mets in 2015 and for the Dodgers for the past 3 years. The Pirates bench coach, Don Kelly, Brad Ausmus, you know. I mean, he has more experience than all of these people combined. Like, literally and figuratively speaking. Like, his resume says it all. If you are really serious about winning, if you're really serious about winning a championship in the next 3 to 5 years, this is the guy you have to do it. You cannot hire another first rookie manager again. The Mets did it with Mickey Callaway. They did it with Beltran and then fired him like weeks later after they hired him. So Beltran is a paper manager. He never managed a game, a major league game, period. And then they hire Luis Rojas. All these guys made a bunch of bonehead plays, and obviously that's understandable because they were rookie managers. But then again, the second year, those guys I think their winning record might have improved, but their the in-game strategies and the bonehead plays that they've done, you know, it's still head scratchers, and you know these were not ready. And just like what happened, Mickey Callaway, he got hired by Epler and the Angels, and he was a pitching coach again. And then afterwards, Luis Rojas, he's with the Yankees now as a third base coach. So it just makes the Mets move hiring these guys as first league managers as a dumb move, because these guys, they don't even have a major league job, you know, as a manager. They're back in a coaching capacity. So to me, it just makes all these hirings boneheaded. And right now, this team is a veteran-laden team. You have to go for it. You got to go for the juggler. You got to go for the title. 35-plus years without a title is unacceptable in the city of New York. We have to win this title. We have to win this title. Bring the title back to where it always belonged, and that is in Queens, New York. Thank you very much. Get this title. It's unacceptable that this team, with a passionate diehard fan base, we went this long without a title. It's long overdue. It's long overdue. We have to bring the title by any means necessary, and that means hiring Buck Showalter. And spend more money, get this rotation in check, because the rotation for many years.
During the Terry Collins era, Scherzer and DeGrom.
I know that we have Scherzer and DeGrom, but we need to improve the starting rotation. You know what I'm saying? We got the top two Bulldogs, you know, in Scherzer and DeGrom. You can't go wrong with that. You got Carrasco. If he could bounce back, you know, he's a good pitcher. You're hoping Walker can pitch as well as he did in the first half and, you know, bounce back from the second half. And then for that last spot, you know, you're going to, as of right now, need either McGill or Peterson or somebody, I don't know, sign, you know, Carlos Rondon, or even do something even shocking and sign maybe, I don't know, Kershaw or Greinke, which I don't think either of those two guys are would come here anyway. I mean, we'll see. But then again, now we're in the lockout, so we don't even know what's going to happen. We're going to have, you know, God literally only knows when this season's going to start. We're just going to be speculating until, you know, the cows come home and both sides come to an agreement. So, yeah, they got to improve this starting rotation. They got to go for the starting rotation and sign Chris Bryant. I mean, I'm starting to sound like a Yankee fan, but, you know, let's just sign all these guys and try to bring a title, man.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have a lot of money to spend now.
About time. Long overdue. Gone is the coupon, Wilpon error, you know, with the Mets, you know. So we definitely need to spend the money so that in a few years we don't have to rely on overpaying people, and we'll have people in the system ready to go and just plug in the holes that we need instead of just, you know, overspending, because, you know, we need to convince people to come over here, and, you know, this team is in a dire state. They have talent, but they need leaders to rein them in. Buck Showalter would be the best skipper available to do that, you know. So hopefully next week episode, you know, we'll be announcing that Buck Showalter is the next manager of the Mets. As of right now, only God knows who's going to be the next manager, because all signs are pointing to Buck Showalter, and nothing is official until it's official. I mean, over a decade ago, almost 20 years ago, they were saying, oh, I think it was 2006, oh, Manny Ramirez is going to get, and then something happened, it didn't go through. Then they said Allen Iverson was going to sign with the Knicks, and then Dolan, you know, backed out in the last moment, you know. Juan Gonzalez apparently was going to come to the Mets in, 2001? And of course, you know, he, like, I think backed out of the deal and signed with Texas, which was, you know, managed by Buck Showalter. So here's the full circle right there. But, yeah, man, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, you know, I'll have good news for you guys, you know, my fellow Mets fans, next week. But we'll see what happens with that. Shifting gears to the Yankees, and the big news with the Yankees is that they let Cliff Frazier go, and, you know, some former Yankees such as CC Sabathia and Jeff Nelson weren't happy about him, you know, being happy that he's no longer a Yankee, you know, and you know, so yeah, what's your thoughts on Clint Frazier? I mean, you were a fan of his when he was on your team, you know. What's your thoughts on, you know, Clint Frazier, I should say, you know,
Clint
being
Frazier.
Released, and you know, obviously now he's a Cub.
Well, I mean, I saw great potential in Clint Frazier when he came up, and I thought this guy was going to be here forever. You know, I thought he had a bright future with the Yankees, but his performance on the field, he didn't show it. I mean, he did display some power here and there with the Yankees, but, you know, this guy, his average was way down. I mean, he'd be batting in, like, the lower 200s, couldn't really knock people in. I mean, with the exception of hitting home runs here and there, I mean, he never really showed us, you know, that potential that we thought he had. You know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, he seems like he could be a great player if he just puts his mind to it. But I think, you know, he's just distracted by some other stuff right now. And he's a rebellious guy, you know, Clint Frazier. You know, he's not the atypical Yankee player that the Yankees usually, you know, roster. You know, but he's a guy that likes to do his own thing, and it seems right now he doesn't really focus much on baseball. You know, he's on social media a lot, making these comments. Like you said, you know, he commented that he's glad to be off the Yankees, and, you know, it seems like he gets distracted a lot by different things and doesn't focus, you know, about things going on in the baseball field. And, you know, if this continues, you know, he's not going to be in the major leagues for too long. And, you know, it's just unfortunate because I thought this guy could have been one of the Yankee greats, but that was not the case. So am I happy that he's gone? No, because, you know, would love to see him stay in the Yankees maybe a few years, try to prove himself. But, you know, then again, you know, he's had the last few years to try to show the Yankee fans something, and he hasn't done so. So it is what it is. Just got to move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, he had his opportunities. You know, it's always sad to see a guy who you have promise in don't pan out. But now it's a fresh new start for him in Chicago.
he'll play better there, and maybe we might see the player that we imagine him to be.
Yeah, I mean, right there, I mean, Chicago, I mean, that's a passionate fan base as well. So he's still gonna be in a pressure cooker, you know, either way he slices it. But yeah, we'll see what happens with him in Chi-Town. He better not be shy in Chi-Town and put up some numbers, or else he'll be bouncing around. Or it could be the end of his career, you know.
We'll see.
But, yeah, shifting gears, the Jets, they're going to be hosting the Saints. Yeah, man, I don't know if you heard, but C.J. Mosley was basically saying that, you know, he don't think teams respect the Jets. Yeah, here's what he was saying. If we're not doing the right things, then we open the gates for the disrespect that happens. We open the gates for the blowouts that happens. We open the gates to get laughed at and humiliated on the field and off the field. So in order to change that, we got to change our mindset. We gotta go to do the right things on and off the field and win games. And Salah said CJ is 100% right. Respecting this league is earned, not given. Yeah, I mean, I agree 100%, you know. Nobody respect the Jets, man. They haven't won anything since Joe Namath's, winning the title in Super Bowl III. And, you know, these last couple of years, especially under Gase, you know, now Salah in his rookie year, a defensive specialist, you know, they're getting blown out. Like, ridiculous. Like, the Jets are a laughing stock. I mean, can't even beat around the bush. I mean, it's a fact. You know, Jets are just getting humiliated. Given up, I mean, I lost count how many 40 plus games they've given up 40 points in a game. Like, I mean, it's probably like four times or so this year already. I mean, it's crazy. They're gonna need to bounce back against the Saints. While they're hosting, you know, the visiting Saints, man. You know, they gotta turn this around. I mean, the season's over already. I mean, they're 3-9. I mean, let's be real. They're in the bottom of the AFC East. And, yeah, man, they just need to focus on the maturation of Zach Wilson, which congratulations to him. He won rookie of the week, I think it was. I mean, he didn't play all that well, but, you know, that just shows how weak this rookie draft has been so far this year, so. What's your thoughts on the Jets versus Saints?
Well, I mean, there's nothing much to say about the Jets because the Jets, I mean, their play throughout this year has been horrible. I mean, everything has been horrible about the Jets. I mean, it's just, I'm speechless, you know, because their defense has been, I mean, they haven't even played defense, whatever they want to call that. The offense is out of whack. I mean, looks like right now they've lost Elijah Moore for a few games, so he's not going to play tomorrow. And, yeah, man, it's, I don't know. I guess it's the Saints right now, they have tons of injuries.
Yeah, they lost 5-0 too.
Yeah, they've been on a losing streak. And right now they're starting, the quarterback is Taysom Hill. He'll be starting tomorrow against the Jets. Mm-hmm. So the Jets have a chance to win this game tomorrow. Tomorrow is a winnable game because the Saints, they have guys that are out right now, and the Jets could take advantage of that. But, you know, we've seen games where, you know, Jets could have won, and then they didn't. So I don't trust the Jets in this spot tomorrow, you know, even though they're at home. But,
I mean,
Jets have been very inconsistent, so I don't know what to expect from them tomorrow.
Yeah, they better have a better performance than they did last week against your rival Eagles, losing 33-18.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is the Jets were playing well in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they just let the game slide, and then it ended up into a blowout, and they let a guy, they let the backup quarterback beat them. And what's his name again? He used to be on the Jags. I forget his name. He was like a redneck name. What's his name again? Help me out here, Will.
I'm gonna try to remember myself.
It's like a redneck name. Let me look here and see.
Jalen Hurts.
No, Gardner Minshew. Jalen Hurts is a starting quarterback. No, he was out last week against Jets. Gardner Minshew started, and he beat the Jets. So they let a backup quarterback beat them last week.
Yep.
So now they have another backup quarterback play tomorrow. So we'll see. We'll see if history repeats itself tomorrow.
Yep, let's hope not. And then you got the Giants on the road against the Chargers.
Yeah, it looks like Mike Glennon's going to be starting tomorrow. He suffered a concussion last week's game, but he's been cleared to play, so he's going to start tomorrow. And, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. The Chargers, man, they have high-powered offense. With Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler. I don't know if Keenan Allen and then Mike Williams at the wide receiver, I don't know if they're going to play tomorrow, but Chargers are one of the best offensive team in the league, although their defense is suspect, but that's going to be a tough game. A tough game for the Giants, who have also been inconsistent, just like the Jets. Not as bad as Jets, but, you know, just as inconsistent. So, it's going to be a tough game tomorrow for both teams. So, we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Giants are going to need to find a way and get this W. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be a tough night for them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like so far the only good thing that happened to the Giants this year is, you know, Michael Strahan getting inducted into their Hall of Fame and going to space.
True. Yeah, that's the highlight.
The Giants need to get their head out of the clouds and back to playing good football.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah, what's your fantasy prediction or suggestions?
For week 14, I got quarterback Russell Wilson against the Texans, running back Tony Pollard against the Washington football team, wide receiver Russell Gage against the Panthers, tight end Noah Font against Lions, kicker Harrison Butker versus Raiders, and defense special teams Titans against the Jags. Those are my fantasy football starts for week 14.
Thank you for that, Mac. Really appreciate that. I think the Lions get their first win like a few days ago?
I think so. I believe so.
But yeah, because they were winless
this week.
Because they were winless.
Yeah.
And now they're going to try to extend their winning streak to two against the Denver Broncos in Denver. So, to the Detroit Lions. But speaking of ineptitude, yeah, let's dive into a team we've been talking about, you know, ever since the inception of this show in 2009. And of course, that's the New York Knicks. The team we thought in the just a few weeks ago when we were doing this, actually a month ago, when we're doing the anniversary show, we bought into the fool's gold that this year is going to be different. Obviously, I mean, it's still early. The Knicks can bounce back. You know, they're not like out of it. You know, they're still a couple of games under 500. But the eye test, man, it's not looking good for the Knicks. I mean, the big scary thing about the Knicks is that they can't win at home. You know, it's just a glaring glaring weakness for the Knicks. You know, they can't win at home, and they're playing so bad. They can't play any defense. You know, they're not even winning on the road right now either. You know what I'm saying? And last night that was evident, you know, with them getting their butt kicked against the Raptors. You know, RJ Barrett, you know, he missed the game tying three-pointer, which would have forced them into overtime in front of his family and friends, you know. And, you know, he couldn't come through in the clutch, man. And unfortunately, this is my problem with Randle, man. Like, I like Randle. I like him as a person. I like him as a player. But I'm just, you know, I was happy for him, you know, being the MIP, most improved player. You know, I was rooting for him to get the MVP award, you know, last year. But he's regressed, man. He's regressed back to what he was, man. Ever since the Hawks series, he hasn't been an MVP. I mean, he's had, like, I think at least 8 games where he scored 13 points or less, you know. And last year, during his All-Star year, he only had, like, I think five games where he had, you know, a bad performance like this. And I don't know what to say, man. I mean, Randle got to turn it around. You know, we got
this whole team has to turn around.
Yeah, the whole team has to turn around. You know, the team is in deep doo-doo when Kemba Walker, the guy who they've been hyping up as the savior of this team, and he's on the bench. He's not even in the rotation. And Evan Fournier, he's been shaky. He's been up and down. Either he's scoring greatly or, you know, he can't play defense, man. You know, he's playing Jets defense, you know. You think Mike D'Antoni is coaching this current Knicks and the Jets right now? The way both these teams play defense or lack thereof. Like, it's crazy. It's just real.
Defense has not been as sharp as it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Thibodeau's tinkering too much with the lineup. And I guess he's trying to find the right lineup to put out there, but...
Yeah. Our bench is better than our starters.
Yeah, bench is better than our starters. And Kemba, again, you know, you're paying this man millions of dollars and then you're not letting him play. I don't get that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he must have said something to upset Thibodeau for him not to play at all.
Yeah.
And he's not playing whatsoever. I don't understand.
Yeah, I know. Kemba has to be in the rotation to shake out of this. You know what I mean? He didn't to our knowledge, he didn't say or do anything to want him to be, you know, in exile like this.
Yeah, something had to happen for him to not be playing at all. I mean, that I don't get that. There's no explanation for that at all.
Yeah, if that's the case, then
this guy's not
Randle.
A bum.
Then you should bench Randle too. Bench Randle.
Yeah.
Bench Fournier too. Like, I mean, like, Walker's coming into this season. Walker's literally the last person I thought would have got benched, especially in this year. This the first year that they have him. Like, yeah, I don't. I'm just that's puzzling to me. And I heard the rumor is Dolan is PO'd about it, and he wants him, you know, in the rotation. So, I mean, you know, Dolan look like he's going to break his promise of not meddling. So,
yeah, because, like, what's the – you have to give us a reason why he's on the bench and not playing. I mean, Kemba Walker, he's not a bum. I know his defense is shaky, but he can score.
And he's
clutch.
Well, he was clutch before he came to the Knicks anyway.
Yeah,
and
so
especially against the Knicks.
Something doesn't make sense here. I'm stretching my head like, why is this guy not playing at all?
When they said he benched him, like, what was it, a week or two ago, I was shocked. I mean, I was like, you know, obviously he wasn't having an all-star season, but, I mean, you know, he's still a threat out there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense. He was the marquee signing, and you just bench him. You bench him with no explanation, no tangible reason why he's benched. It just It just doesn't make any sense. Guy's been in the league for
this
10
team
years.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. You know, we got to start we might as well start the bench. And then Obi Toppin, you know, he had his career high, 19 points, and now he has to sit out. He's going to sit out tomorrow's game and more, you know, because apparently, you know, they think he might have COVID or he was in contact with somebody in COVID who might potentially have COVID. And now he's going to have to set out, you know, a minimum of 10 games unless if he, you know, they find out he doesn't have a, you know, he doesn't have, he, you know, he passes the test to prove he doesn't have it. It's crazy, man. The guy has a career high 19 points, and you guys can't, you guys don't even play him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke. It's like another, just another Knicks season. You know, what can you do? And then they're going to be hosting the Bucks. The
Lightning, the defending, undisputed, world champion Bucks.
Yes, thank you, Paul Heyman. You must have a sore throat or something. But in any case, we're going to be facing the world champions, and that's going to be a loss.
Yeah, that's gonna be a tough game tomorrow. That for sure. You know, well, the last game that we played them was not a nice game to watch. So tomorrow's game might be even worse than that.
Yeah, we're gonna have our work cut out for us this week. This is gonna be Murderer's Row week. We're gonna have the Warriors. They're gonna come out to play in the Garden. On Tuesday night. So first we're facing the Bucks tomorrow afternoon, at noon to be exact. We're facing the Warriors Tuesday night. Thursday night we're going to be in Houston against the Rockets. And then Saturday we're going to be playing against the Celtics. So, yeah, man. They better bring their you know, their construction hat and their lunchbox, because they're gonna have to go to work this week. They're gonna have to earn their paycheck for real. It ain't gonna look good, man. I don't know. Hopefully, the Knicks will wake up, you know, and rise up to the challenge of their rivals, you know, like the Eye of the Tiger song. What are you saying?
Look at the bright side. If the Knicks are losing in the second or third quarter, you can always turn to a football game.
Yeah, that's true. Well, tomorrow, not Tuesday and.
Oh yeah, tomorrow. I'm saying, yeah.
Uh huh. Yep. That's true. So
you turn to the football game and you see Jets and Giants are losing too.
For real, it's like. Man, I might as well watch the MLS game, from earlier today. I mean, come on, man. The state of New York, I guess, with the exception of the MLS team, you know, they're not doing their thing, man. So yeah, we'll definitely see what happens with the state of the New York teams. Yeah, I heard that the Rangers, they had their seven game winning streak snapped.
Power Rangers.
Yep. And
win that fade.
With the what?
Run the fade. Run that fade back. That filter, that Power Rangers filter people are using on Instagram.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
So that just came to my head when I think of Rangers. The young generation knows what I'm talking about.
But, after the Rangers had a horrible loss, 7-3 against the Avalanche, they bounced back and recently won against the Sabres. Gorgoriev had a 36 save, you know, for that W. against the Sabres on last night. So now they're going to try to build another winning streak. And then on the other side, you know, the Rangers rival, the Islanders, they got their first W at their new stadium, UBS Arena, at a final score of 4-2 against another crosstown rival in the Devils. So congrats to them. They got their first win in their new stadium tonight.
Congrats.
And at least 8 Islander players finished with 1 point. So, yeah, congrats to them.
Congrats.
And, yeah, let's move on to AEW. They got a pay-per-view event. Well, they have a pay-per-view type event that's gonna pop up on this Wednesday's episode of Dynamite. So if you watch Wednesday night, you're gonna see this event. It's called Winter is Coming. Basically, here are the matches.
Winter is Coming. Game of Thrones.
AEW
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, apparently so. Yeah, that's their theme. They've had this pay-per-view, this pay-per-view slash special event on TV for the past couple of years. I think 2 years to be exact. But yeah, here are the matches so far. You got Wardlow with Sean Spears, and he's fighting against Matt Sydal, formerly known as Evan Bourne, alongside his real-life brother, Mike Sydal. And they're fighting in a one-on-one matchup, picking Wardlow to win that. You know, Wardlow has the size advantage. You know, he's a big man. He'll dominate, you know, the high flyer. And then you got the no disqualification match between Akira Shida, the former AEW champion, versus Serena Deeb, you know, formerly, you know, she was in the Straight Edge Society back in the days. And I think she's the NWA champion recently. But yeah, Serena Deeb, she turned heel again. And I think Hikaru Shida is going to get her revenge on her. Because Hikaru Shida, you know, when she recently won 50 matches in AEW, I think she was the first person to do it. Man or woman to do it. So after she got the award, Serena Deeb attacked her. And that's what started this whole feud. I think, what was it, a few weeks ago to a month ago? So I think Hikaru Shida is going to get her revenge in this no DQ. Then you got MJF. He's going to try to defend his Dynamite ring that he's won, I think, two years in a row. And he's going to go against Dante Martin, who was recently Leo Rush's tag team partner. And then he turned on him and joined Team Taz. And then Team Taz, then he double-crossed Team Taz. And it looks like he's still with Leo Rush. Team Taz wasn't happy about. But the good news with Team Taz is that Taz's real-life son, Hook, made his debut against... he did against some luchador. I'd have to double check what his name is. And his finisher is the Taz Mission, just like his father, except he calls it Red Rum, you know. So
Red Rum,
the Shining reference. he looked really good in the ring. You know, a lot of people were giving him and Taz props for his performance in the ring, in his debut on Friday Night Friday Night Rampage. Props to him. And then, the last but not least, you got Hangman Adam Page defending his AEW World Championship against the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson. Oh yeah, so MJF, I'm picking him to retain the AEW Dynamite Diamond Ring. And then, I could see CM Punk costing him the victory, though. That'd be the only way he'd lose it. But I think MJF is going to win it 3-time. And then Hangman Adam Page will retain the title against Bryan Danielson. I mean, Hangman Adam Page just won the title against Kenny Omega. So I don't see him losing the title, even to someone the caliber of Bryan Danielson, who's won multiple titles at WrestleMania and so forth. But, yeah, I think so far Hangman Adam Page's time to shine, you know, and he'll retain the title. But, yeah, let's shift gears to, I guess, NXT quickly. NXT, they had the War Games event last Sunday. Team NXT Golden Black, I think they called it, with Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, you know, they lost to the new class of, you know, NXT, you know, which had Carmelo Hayes, Bron Breakker, who is Scott Steiner's nephew and Rick Steiner's son. They defeated them in the War Game match. And, yeah, it looks like it marked the end of Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and Kyle O'Reilly. It looks like their career ended. And then, of course, Gargano got attacked when he was giving his goodbye speech on NXT this past week. So, yeah, you know, he had a great career. Both guys had a great career in NXT, and it looks like, hey, maybe they might go to AEW, for all we know. But then gears to WWE, man. Man, Raw was really boring.
I can't even remember what happened on Raw.
I don't remember what happened on Raw either, and they just gave the recap. I was just watching Raw today. To watch what happened, to see what happened. Actually, I was watching SmackDown today and they gave the recap of Raw. Now I don't even remember what I saw. Honestly, can't even remember what I saw. Oh yeah, Bobby Lashley attacked. I'm trying to remember. Bobby Lashley attacked Big E, Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, because he was in the title match. That's like the only memorable thing that I remember that happened in that on Raw that day. What were you gonna say?
No, yeah, I was gonna say I think that was a big thing that happened on Monday.
Mm-hmm. That's it. And then Jeff Hardy, you know, he got released from WWE, off the field stuff, out of the ring, you know, stuff. Hopefully he didn't have a relapse and,
well, it sounds like he had a relapse.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it sounds like, you know,
from the report saying that he's, they released because he doesn't want to go back into rehab.
Right. So, yeah, you know, I wish him the best. Hopefully he could turn his life around and, you know, hopefully team up with his brother Matt in AEW, you know, once he gets, you know, he gets his, gets his life back on track. You know, I hope he has a speedy recovery and, you know, can, you know, with his short, you know, however many years he has left in his career, you know, hopefully he can, you know, bounce back, you know.
Yeah.
Sad way to end a legendary career in WWE.
Who knows? We might be seeing him in WWE because this is not the first time, so might
yeah,
be seeing him
true.
In the future.
But I think the ship has sailed with him in WWE because they're not really using him. They were using him as a mid-carder person, you know. Yeah, I think the writing was on the wall. I'm not. That's not a point of his song, you know, his new song. Oh, actually, it's not his new song. He had the song when he, the first time around when he left and then he came back. But what was I gonna say? Yeah, I just hope he has a speedy recovery, and I just think, you know, AEW is the wave. You know, AEW is like the new WCW. You know, like you have guys who were established in WWE, or even guys who were mid-carders and they weren't getting the appreciation that they deserve, and AEW is giving them that second life, that second win for them to turn their career around and get that title. And like you said, hey, you know, you open eyes in AEW, you know, that'll make you even more, might make you more desirable in WWE and see you as a champion. They'll say, okay, they see the maturation and give you a shot. But right now, WWE look like they're in the new, they're going back to how they were in the PG era. And they're just going after athletes, possibly models, you know, who have the look that they're looking for, and build up a star there instead of going in the indie route and getting established people and elevating their young talent that way. But yeah, I'll say another thing with them future endeavoring people, you know, lately it's not only impacting WWE, but it's impacting NXT, because it's like I don't even have the NXT is good, but it's like it's not as good as it was, you know. And you know, like no matter how good you are, Vince McMahon doesn't see NXT, you know, with any value other than it being a minor league system, you know, because no matter how well the person is doing, look at Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross had the look. He had, you know, his fiance had the look of, you know, what WWE would normally look for, and they just stripped him away, like what they did with Alberto Del Rio. Everything that worked to get him over, they stripped it away from him, and then they wonder why he couldn't get over. I mean, it's just, the state of WWE is really insane, you know. Allowing himself and Nick Khan to fire people, and then Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, is swooping up and taking these guys. I mean, I'm assuming there's no relation between the two Khans, but it's just crazy about the state of the WWE. The only saving grace to WWE was SmackDown, and that opening thing, you know, the opening segment with Brock Lesnar, Sami Zayn. I mean, Brock Lesnar, like you were saying about it last week, but yeah, Brock Lesnar is really bringing his A game, mic skill wise. You know, he was really funny yesterday, or I should say Friday night, with his segment with Sami Zayn. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw that segment was actually hilarious.
Yeah,
Brock Lesnar's segments have been gold lately.
I know.
I mean, his mic skills have his mic skills have always been, I thought, pretty good. He just didn't talk that much with Paul Heyman talking for him. But yeah, man, he's been showing his comedic mic skills lately, and it was pretty funny. And
you know,
seeing him give Sami Zayn the F5 at the end there, so.
And then Paul Heyman interrupting them and reminding him who he is. It was just a brilliantly done segment. Like,
yeah, it was.
Like, man, the only time the Rock could have a brilliantly done segment would be as if The Rock or somebody from the Attitude Era. Well, technically, I mean, Brock Lesnar is from the Attitude Era also. So, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like for Raw to have something like that, you have to have legends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, WWE has been, especially on the Raw side, they've been legend dependent, and you know, obviously in recent times they haven't really had legends come by, you know. And every time, the last time they had legends pop up, you know, was Legend Night, and then Randy Orton basically sent them all to AEW. Christian, Mark Henry, Big Show, like all the people that was on that episode, like, got basically RKO'd to AEW. Like, I mean, it's funny when you think about it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the state of WWE. I mean, the champions, Raw, I'd say Big E and Bobby Lashley is what's really carrying Raw on the men's side, for sure. And I guess and then on SmackDown you have more of a collaborative effort. You know, you got, of course, Roman Reigns, New Day. Yeah, I mean, like, SmackDown is still the better product, even though, you know, Vince wants to force feed the narrative that Raw is the better show. But, yeah, the state of WWE is really bad because it's like all the morale, the positive morale boost of them having the right people as champions right now, you know, it's just the uncertainty of these people having jobs. You know, it doesn't matter how good the people are doing, you know, with the fans or in there outside the ring. It's like these dreaded budget cuts can pop up any moment. There could be a budget cut by this Friday for all that we know, or Christmas Day, the way how WWE is doing these stuff. Because, like, you know, before this year or the past couple of years, it was just maybe one shocking budget cut a year or so. But it's like this year they had like three or four. It's like, and it never ends. It's like there's no heart. There's no rhyme or reason to these firings. At least you could back in the, you know, prior to this, you would put your finger on it. Okay, they haven't used this person in a while. This person is, you know, gone. But now with these budget cuts, they have people on, could have someone on Raw today, and then tomorrow they're released. There's no rhyme or reason to what they're doing, you know?
Yeah, sounds like this guy that I'm hearing who might replace Vince McMahon pretty soon.
Nick Khan.
Yeah, he's the guy that's responsible.
Yeah, man, it's just a sorry and crazy state of what's going on with WWE. The WWE is acting like the Knicks right now. Shoot.
Or the Mets.
Well, I mean, but the Mets are at least moving in the right direction. You know, they're.
Oh yeah,
if they get Buck Showalter and make some improvements, you know, they're moving in the right direction. Yeah, this past year, oh yeah. Dysfunction city, you know, our typical dysfunction city with the Mets. I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that. But, you know, they've made some big moves. You know, they got Marte, they got Scherzer. You know, they made some other moves. You know, if they get Showalter, you know, get Chris Bryant, make some moves in the starting rotation. I mean, hey, you know, they're definitely moving in the right direction. So I'll give them a wait and see. But if they don't hire Buck Showalter and hire another guy who has very few managerial experience at best, then yeah, you can kill them. Until this person, if it's not Buck Showalter, until this person wins a championship with the Mets, you know, We're gonna be Monday morning quarterbacks and just criticize this move until we see otherwise. So we'll see what happens. Anything you'd like to say, Mac, before, you know, we head out, we get the call to the bullpen?
Just check out your local listings for my show iMac, special holiday show next week. And just come back here, check out Sports Urban Legendary Saturdays at 11, only on Box of Radio.
Yeah, you thank you, Mac. You heard the man. Check out his special episode on his show. And check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And check out the last episode of the year next Saturday at 11. Only on Block Talk Radio. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys next week. Look forward to seeing you guys there. Peace.
Rage.